Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for May 10th in the year of our Lord, 2023. The goal, promote God, family, and country, protect life, liberty, and property. Do so using the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founders in the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. Rejecting revolution, standing for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Man, have we got a barn burner 2 hours for you today, ladies and gentlemen. Lance Migliaccio, George Valentin with us. TheBigMig.com. Welcome, Lance.
Sam, so great to be back. We really appreciate you having us back. We missed you, Sam. We missed you. We missed this hard-line truth that we're always slinging over here at Liberty Roundtable. How you been, buddy?
Amen to that. George, welcome, sir.
Welcome, Sam. Thank you, Sam. And thank you to all your listeners for listening to us and being a guest on your show. We really appreciate it. We actually do miss you. Me and Lance were talking about it the other day. Like, we need to get with Sam.
The Big Mig, ladies and gentlemen. The tip of the spear, if liberty means anything at all, it means the right to tell people what they don't want to hear. Amen to that. Now, the Biden family receives millions from foreign nationals, tried to conceal the source of the funds, says the House Oversight Committee. House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer basically says, hey, you know what? This is a serious problem. They had business schemes. This is disaster. They got millions of dollars, all kinds of foreign influence. They set up 20-plus companies for this. When Joe was VP, they all referred to the big guy. This has been kind of going on. Some are saying this is judgment day for the Bidens. Time will tell, Lance. I appreciate the theater on this. Do you really think that Joe will get arrested? Do you really think that Hunter will do time for this kind of stuff, or do you think it's just a dog and pony show at this point?
You know, Sam, we always circle back to the lack of accountability, you know, and the rules for thee, not for me. I mean, that's something that you and I have discussed many times. You know, I'm always hopeful that we're going to turn the corner and finally there's going to be some liability for violating the laws of the United States. It seems like Congress, most of the people in the executive branch believe they're above the law. Now, I will give the Oversight Committee a lot of credit for bringing this forward during this live press conference. You know, George and I were listening right prior to the show. They did specifically name that the DOJ wasn't doing their job. They did name that the FBI wasn't doing their job. They did name that the mainstream media, especially since the times of Watergate, appears to effectively be not doing what they say they're doing. Because over a month ago, Congress, this oversight committee provided some information to many reporters and journalists about what was going on, and yet they only asked Joe Biden about it once. You know, it's the same thing. We see this weaponized government that doesn't appear to follow its charters or its obligations and clearly doesn't follow their oaths to uphold the Constitution and protect this country from all enemies, foreign and domestic. So that being said, I hope something will come from it. You know, hope for the best, expect the worst is kind of my saying when it comes to Congress and what they're supposed to do law-wise. You know, George, your thoughts? I'm hoping for different. What do you think? You think anything will come from this?
No. And pretty much, you know, let's go back to the laptop from hell. The FBI had this in their possession. You know, I give a lot of credit to Garrick Ziegler from Marco Polo because a lot of this information was on there. So if you look today, the House Oversight Committee, they said the Biden, I'm going to say crime family. They don't say it, but I say crime family. And their associates received over $10 million
from the Biden criminal enterprise.
Right? $10 million, Sam, from foreign nationals. And
yeah?
The Treasury had over 100 suspicious reports from multiple LLCs from them, and nothing has been done. So where we're at with this, if anything happens to Hunter, you know what's going to happen? His father is going to pardon him. And they'll just get away with it. In that case, they'll just pardon him. Because remember when people were talking about Trump would pardon his kids and they had a frenzy? Nothing will happen because the media is not covering it. And they won't. They might now because they want to move Biden out of the way. But if they do that, that means then they supported this guy from the beginning when they had all this information.
Well, and the interesting thing to me about the Republicans, too, you know, how long has Biden been in office? And now they're just telling you, hey, you know, 20 companies, four banks literally subpoenaed about this, literally $10 million, foreign nationals peddling influence, et cetera, et cetera. And I just kind of feel like, why now? And what, you know, is the big deal? They've let Joe run around doing whatever he does, forget the fact that there was, you know, classified information everywhere. Hunter's been running around, whatever. There's been no accountability to date, and I appreciate the Republicans at least bringing this up as a matter of fact. My fear, though, is, hey, I don't believe anything's going to happen to these people. Look at the Clintons. Look at the Bidens. You know, it seems like the Republicans are the only ones that seem to have any accountability. To make matters worse, George Santos just got arrested on federal criminal charges. Now, I think he's a criminal. I think he lied to get elected. That's election fraud, in my opinion. But it only seems to be one-sided at this point. Lance?
I mean, look how quickly they moved on an indictment and arrest on Santos. To me, I agree with you 100%, Sam. The point you just made effectively is exactly what I think. If you look at just specifically, just an example, the Hunter Biden laptop, they had experts, judicial review by ex-DOJ, ex-federal judges.
Yeah, and they then had the government literally knowing full well it was criminal, intentionally cover it up. So adding insult to injury there. And now Biden's doing the same thing. Biden's been covering this stuff up. And the government, the FBI, the Justice Department literally has been helping him.
The dirty 51 and the 8 or 9 unnamed also on that letter. They basically lied in front of Congress. They lied on a federal document, on federal letterhead. They should all be indicted, but we don't see indictments coming down the pike to them. And that's the problem we have. You know, I keep wondering, is the OIG ever going to do anything? Because we already know the DOJ is fully corrupted. They've had multiple crimes. And to me, they're all guilty. Every one of these individuals that now knows these crimes are committed is guilty of misprisions of a felony for not actively pursuing those crimes. So in the case of Hunter Biden, at first round, without doing additional counts, because, you know, as you know, if you get paid 5 times for one crime, 5 separate payments, those are considered 5 separate counts. Without doing the counting, right, there are 460 plus state and federal crimes on the Hunter Biden laptop that include many of the family members and obviously many of the co-conspirators. Yet nobody's done anything about it. And they've had that for months and months and months. There was also a whistleblower that produced documents and turned them into the Department of Justice and the FBI. And that's what Congress is demanding now on the Bidens, because they had those whistleblower documents for literally months and months and months and have done nothing with it. They continue to get information that's factual, that's supported by evidence, and they don't move on it because the DOJ, FBI, the alphabet agencies, this is a criminal enterprise. It is a concurrent criminal enterprise with racketeering and conspiracy. And the kingpin is Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, in my opinion.
And you mentioned that it's kind of a uniparty as well. And what's fascinating is that I don't think the Republicans want to move because, hey, you know what? Turnabout's fair play and dirt rises to the top. You know, what's going to happen there? Meantime, the jury has just returned a verdict against the Donald in the, what do you call this, the E. Jean Carroll case / the Donald Trump battery, rape, and defamation. It's interesting how their headlines minimize all the Joe Biden crime syndicate family. But with Donald, they ratchet up every word. Listen, the Carroll Jean Donald Trump battery, rape, and defamation. I mean, think how they're just trumping that up big time. They have ruled that Trump is liable for, quote, sexual abuse and defamation, but not rape, don't you know? That's Bill Clinton's exclusivity there. But she basically will get at least $2 million, they say. Some are saying up to 5. Time will tell what'll really happen. Donald coming back and saying this is nothing but a witch hunt. Experts are saying it'll do nothing but elevate Donald in the polls. I mean, this is insane, George.
It is. And by the way, he is appealing that decision, just so everybody knows. I mean, what's going to happen next? Another woman's going to come out and now try to sue him, saying something happened 10 years ago. This happened in a high prominent department store, supposedly, allegedly. In those days, there's a lot of people working, not like today, because you can't find nobody to work. There's people working all over those stores. You tell me if someone's in the dressing room, they're not going to scream? I mean,
no, don't say that. See, she's not a screamer. You just don't know about this sexual abuse stuff there. That's common. Actually, see, they went through all this, right?
Yeah. Well, she also described rape as sexy in an interview. I'm not sure that anything about rape is sexy.
But Lance, you look at look at the timing of all this, though. How does the timing of this decision now affect what's happening today with the House?
Well, I've got a game plan. I'm going to come out today and admit that Alexander Soros and George Soros raped me, and that Bill Gates raped me. It was an orgy, and I got raped. And I'm going to use that revenue to build a massive media studio once I win.
Nope, you don't count. You're considered a white male conservative.
Oh, that's right. I didn't think of that. You're right.
Will be used against you. Nothing you say will matter. It's irrelevant. You see, why are we going after the Donald? Literally, they don't even. She doesn't even really claim that there was full whatever. What about Bill Clinton, though? If we're going to go back in the archives and stuff like that, multiple women say that Bill raped them, even going into the details of how the rape happened, meaning, you know what, he would bite their lips and hold them there and this and that. I mean, all kinds of details. But nothing's happening to old Bill there.
Sam, what about the slush fund for sexual harassment and sexual-related cases that Congress uses on a regular basis?
For Republicans and Democrats, the Uniparty.
Yes, for both parties. I mean, where do they get off having this slush fund and none of it ever goes public because they put it all under NDA? They make these settlements.
Yeah, other than that, it's not so bad, Lance.
You know, you mentioned George.
We got a quick break coming straight back to George. We're also going to talk about Tucker. We got a crank. There's a lot of topics. You're listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Fighting for the soul of liberty and true pursuit of happiness for everyone. Freedom Fest 2023 is coming to the home of the blues and birthplace of rock and roll, Memphis, Tennessee, July 12th through 15th. It's the ultimate summit for liberty, educating and empowering through art, music, film, and comedy, while promoting economic freedom and highlighting today's political issues. Use promo code ROUND50 to save $50 off the current rate. Reserve your spot at freedomfest.com. See you in Memphis.
In message 1, we said that Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44, gave the left evil, spiritual power the more they use the lies. The political left today is the beast. Now the Bible confirms that the dragon gave him, the beast, his power. Revelation 13:2. The extra evil spiritual power that comes from the beast by their lying is what accounts for the string of the leftist criminals in the government that have never yet been prosecuted. It also explains why American capitalists support communism in the 21st century. Note 1. That behavior of capitalists was predicted by Vladimir Lenin, a cell of the beast. Note 2. Henry Ford was a capitalist, and he would have never gone communist. The difference between Ford and the present-day, end-time capitalists is that Ford was born and educated in the Kingdom of Christ, 19th century America, the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21.
All right, live and on your radio. Welcome, George. We were talking about this Uniparty, this criminal enterprise. Seems like anybody decent gets barbecued by the establishment, but the rest of them go free, sir.
Thank you, Sam. So, yeah, the Uniparty keeps coming up, and, you know, I don't trust Republicans any more than I trust the Democrats at this point. But just to prove a point, and Cash was talking about this, you know, when that letter came out, the 51 Intel letter, right? Gina Haspel, a Trump appointee, right, director of the CIA, she rushed approval and had CIA solicit signatures pushing bogus intel to rig the election. You know, she was never held accountable for the Russiagate investigation. And then you had the London station chief in 2016. He blocked the release of the still-sealed ICA memo produced by U.S. on House Intel, displayed the false work of her CIA and its involvement in rigging elections. You know, she pretty much illegally ran CIA election scams and never been held accountable. You know, it's just nothing. Our government, our federal agencies are so out of control that they just need to be disbanded and either rebuilt from the ground up. I mean, nothing is going anything for the GOP at this point, because now they're just both uniparty complicit, both GOP and our Democrats. It's just nothing is going to be done unless we the people do it.
You're right about that, Lance. It's the uniparty. I'm afraid the Republicans don't really take action, because you know what? They'll end up with it back in spades if they're not very careful, and they know it.
You know, lack of action, not moving forward, and you know, pushing for arrests, it makes them just as guilty. To me, they're just being complicit by doing. You know, the Democrats are going proactive, and the Republicans are inactive, which makes them both guilty. It doesn't reduce the volume and the quantity and the quality of this criminal activity. These are crimes, Sam, that if any of the three of us committed even a small portion of it, we would be looking at long-term extended sentences within the federal hooscow. And without any hesitation, you know, my thought is, this enough's enough. The people are going to have to do what they don't want to do, which is they're going to have to take back control of this government, because this government cannot be trusted at any level.
Sad but true. Proactive, inactive. They're all radioactive. There's no doubt about that. Interesting twist. Everybody wondered where Tucker would land. Now it turns out Tucker Carlson announced that his show will air exclusively on Twitter going forward. He says it's the only free speech platform left in the world. He's absolutely wrong about that. But Carlson accuses Fox News of fraud and breach of contract. The debate rages on regarding all that, gentlemen, but the fact is YouTube has cranked up the ability to syndicate and promote podcasts and video and audio, knowing that they were going to get left behind with text only in the past kind of a thing. They were doing that in 21, 22. Now for 23, it's prime time. This is a huge win for Elon Musk and Twitter. Twitter was kind of going down and getting left behind and kind of relegated irrelevant because the liberals are, you know, promoting that agenda. But now that Elon and Tucker are kind of together, that gives new life into Twitter, and it changes the game in many ways, because now we're showing podcasts are king. Welcome to the party, Tucker.
Yeah, it's something that the three of us already were well aware of and many already knew. Interesting Tucker play. Elon Musk indicates that there was no financial compensation, and I know of one deal that was on the table for $125 million for Tucker Carlson. I also understand he was in talks with Donald Trump. Not sure if that had to do with True Social or otherwise. So it's an interesting play. I think he's counting on his subscribers to take care of what he wants for revenue, which wouldn't surprise me. Everybody loves Tucker Carlson. He's been slaying it, especially as of late, really going after what happened to him and what he believes about mainstream media and how it's controlled. But you know, this is a big turn, don't you think? I mean, honestly.
Yes. Now the other reason he didn't take the $125 million, because they would want exclusive. Now I know he's saying this show is exclusively on Twitter, but time will tell what happens, because can Tucker do a multi syndication deal where he's literally on Twitter, he's literally on Truth Social, he's literally on who knows where, maintaining a semblance of freedom and making sure that he can never be taken down again, George?
Well, I think he can. I mean, we don't know if he made a deal with Elon Musk. And let's just put this right out there. Twitter is still not full free speech, because we're still getting banned or posts taken down. But I was having this discussion with Lance, and, you know, he got that offered $125 million. Tucker doesn't need to take that, because he's going to have sponsors come to him. People are going to want to put commercials up on his show. And he can look at the money, how much more money he can make, but if he does it himself, has his own production team. I think it's a smart move.
You know, I agree.
As far as
content is king.
As far as YouTube, Sam, on YouTube, if you say anything about stolen elections or anything about the vaccine, you'll automatically get removed.
Sure. Yeah. Now, I'll tell you this about Tucker. Interestingly enough, too, though, I mean, remember, he's had a massive contract before, though. The guy's a multi-whatever millionaire already. I don't know that he cares that much about money. He's got enough money to do whatever he wants for the rest of his life. Obviously, he's not going to let revenue go by the wayside. He's not stupid. But my point is, I think he's starting to price freedom above money to where he's like, listen, if I have to take half a salary, I can only get $60 million instead of $100 million or plus, whatever. Then, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to maintain a semblance of freedom. And I'm also going to do my best to make sure that I can engineer myself into a position where I won't be taken down. You know what? The likelihood of 20 new media services taking me down is a lot less when they have to compete for that revenue, knowing who I am versus, say, just a Fox or whatever else. So I find the move very interesting as the new media takes center stage, as I like to put it, Lance.
I mean, you just nailed it. There's no doubt, like I said a minute ago, content is king, and this puts him in the seat of control. I mean, it's his content. He owns it. He controls it. There's nobody reviewing his show notes and telling him that he has topics he cannot cover or he cannot discuss, or supplying him or attempting to supply him with narratives he doesn't agree with. I mean, let's face it, none of the three of us would want to put up with that. So at this point, you're right. He's got a lot of money in the bank. He's obviously very affluent because of his prior contracts and agreements. There isn't anybody that wouldn't advertise in the conservative world on a Tucker Carlson show. And he controls the story. And let's face it, he could potentially roll this into a media company and do a SPAC on it or take it public and probably do very, very well on his own right.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. He's doing what I've done, created my own radio network. And, hey, I got threatened to be taken down years ago by somebody. I won't go into the details now. I don't have time for it. And they were going to shut me down, and I got pissed off. And I built a radio network in literally 12 hours overnight. I just stayed up all night, drank Code Red Mountain Dew, and built the whole radio network. And it's been running since 2009. And the next day, the guy was surprised that I was back on the air, and he wanted to take my show. And I said, hell no, and this will never happen to me again. Okay, and people are starting to discover this, that I learned early on in my career, 25-plus years ago, you've got to put something in place to where you're not just somebody's, pardon the B word, you got to be very careful about that and maintain somewhat a modicum of control, George.
Sam, I agree with you 100%. You couldn't hit the nail on the coffin any harder. So, I mean, that's why Lance and I, you know, we created the Big Mig Media Company, and, you know, we're on Rumble where, thank God, you know, we can put what we want on there and nothing gets taken down. But here's the thing with Tucker. Here's a point, and I know Lance is going to laugh. Let's see if McCarthy's still going to give him the J6 tape so he can put on Twitter now, if we can continue that, because Fox,
He never gave him the tapes anyway. That was a lie that Tucker went along with because it gave him some prestige play, if you will. But the truth is, we never got the tapes. That's a big old lie. Tucker was allowed to use government computers to show what they allowed him to show, and nothing more, Lance.
Correct. I mean, he had limited access. He had to go through the platform that they had, that was obviously they were in control of, which means that he only got to see what they had actually turned on for him in the videos. I don't believe he got to see even the smallest semblance of the thousands and thousands of hours. Once again, I believe they've hidden lots of exculpatory evidence. That they've hidden evidence to show that the lack of there, that it was a Fed's erection. Let's face it, we know that Ray Epps was part of it, and yet Ray Epps still isn't charged, and they act like he isn't part of it.
And we also know that, for example, the narrative from the mainstream press was, hey, white supremacists and Trump whacked out insurrectionists, did this and this and this and this. Hey, the Epic Times had a film out about most of what Tucker even released already. Early on, that was nothing new. We learned nothing really from Tucker because we already had the Epic Times and other people. Where's the treasure trove of new details that we've never got? It was a big old nothing burger, George.
Yeah,
it is. And here's a point that a lot of people are not talking about, and I wanted to bring this up about with Biden. You know, he said this on a debt ceiling. He goes, I've been considering the 14th Amendment. And I want to just point out what the 14th Amendment, part of it, what it does. He goes, the validity of the public debt of the United States authorized by law, including debts incurred for payment of pensions and bounties for services in suppressing insurrection or rebellion, shall not be questioned. So just that point right there, insurrection, and you know about J6, that's going to be his move to try to push that debt ceiling.
Tragic but true, ladies and gentlemen. And remember, it's pretend legislation in the 14th Amendment in the first place. All right, when we get back, an incredible guest. And we also got to talk about Title 42 real quick in seconds on your radio.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News. I'm Lance Prime. The CPI for last month was released this morning. The Labor Department's Consumer Price Index for April rose 0.4% on the month, with an annual increase of 4.9%. Core prices rose in line with estimates of 0.4% for the month, with an annual increase of 5.5%. The House Oversight Committee is making claims this hour that President Biden and his family have been taking in millions of dollars from multiple governments, including the Chinese government. Bank records indicate multiple wire transfers to multiple accounts in an attempt to hide their origins. Representative Comer.
President Biden has claimed since the 2020 election that his family has not received money from China. That was a lie in 2020, and he continues to lie to the American people now. The Bidens have received millions of dollars from China. It is inconceivable that the president did not know it.
U.S. officials are bracing for an influx of migrants at the southern border as Title 42 is set to expire tomorrow. Guesstimates are 10 to 13,000 people will cross into the United States illegally in the days ahead. The only tool at Border Patrol's disposal is Title 8 now. Under Title 8, non-citizens who cross the border illegally without a legal basis will be processed for removal. President Biden met yesterday with House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, the Republican from California, and other congressional leaders to discuss raising the debt ceiling after it had been 97 days since he and the Speaker met. Following their meeting, McCarthy claims zero progress was made with the White House.
Everybody in this meeting reiterated the positions they were at. I didn't see any new movement.
Georgia football repeated as national champions but will not have a second White House visit. The Bulldogs announced they are declining Biden's invitation to attend what's being deemed College Athlete Day on June 12th. USA News.
Balance of nature. Changing the world, one life at a time.
When I wasn't taking it and I was waiting for my operation, I was feeling very tired. Now I'm driving like 11, 12 hours a day. I told you I manage 15 gas stations. And I have so much energy. I even gave some of my pills for my son. And he said, Dad, this is good. So I like it. I'm healing so fast. It's like amazing. My family is so surprised.
My friend and I are taking a trip to Mexico this year, but neither of us speak Spanish. So we downloaded Babbel and started learning Spanish fast.
Want to start getting conversational in another language in as little as 3 weeks? Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons were designed by language experts to be the most efficient and effective way to learn a new language.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas?
Babbel, language for life, celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, really quick, Lance Migliaccio with us. We've also got George with us, TheBigMig.com. And really quick, tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, Title 42 expires. Expect a tsunami of illegal aliens and fentanyl pouring into your community, ladies and gentlemen. That's something you can look forward to there, Lance.
Well, I mean, that has been an ongoing issue. The cartels are having a banner year. You know, obviously the employee of the year is Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, our border czar. You know, incredible. I mean, right now there's a 911 I would put out to all the listeners that the cartels are talking about acts of domestic terror to try to get Title 42 to not expire. Because obviously the lost revenue for coyote trafficking, for human trafficking, is incredible. I have confirmed numbers of $45,000 to $50,000 a head for non-Hispanic bringovers. That includes the Chinese and 61 other countries that are currently invading our borders.
This is beyond imagination, ladies and gentlemen, but it's happening real time. And sadly, the Republicans seem like they're unwilling to do anything about it. They ought to arrest Joe Biden for this. In my opinion, he's gone rogue and he's acting criminal. The fact is the United States is absolutely at a national security crisis over the border issues. George?
This Title 42, let's see. So technically it was put in place for the fake COVID scan, the plandemic, right? That's what it was really in place for. How convenient that the CDC said we're no longer in an emergency pandemic, and then the WHO the World Health Organization followed suit not too shortly after that. Was it all timing to get this lifted? What the real issue is, our Congress needs to come together and put better and stricter policies and laws in place for the border. And for how many years now, they can never come to agreements. Nothing ever comes to fruition. So do both sides want it, really? I don't know. I mean, every migrant, I think, that comes over is another vote for the Democrats. So, of course, they want to let them come over. Why not? At the expense of the taxpayers, how much it's costing. They get brand new cell phones. They get a bag full of cash. They're putting hotels, nice hotels, food, while our veterans are on the streets. I mean, how do you put veterans over migrants?
Let me say something, George. These are untraceable voters. They're building that database as we speak. As the people come across, they take copies of the IDs. I believe they're going to pass legislation in Washington, D.C. to authorize all the illegals to vote in the next presidential election. Of course, none of them will vote, and we won't be able to prove that they did vote. But that will give the Democrats a fantastically large base of voters that are unidentifiable. Millions and millions of voters that they can put into the system and use those votes in any way they want. It's just more potential for more massive election fraud.
You're right about that. The carnage that's going to be wreaked on the American people as a result of this is incalculable, ladies and gentlemen, from fentanyl. A teeny speck of that fentanyl can literally kill you unless you're a real drug-adapted person. Then, you know, you're in serious trouble. That's just the tip of the iceberg of the trouble we're going to have with this. All right, we have an incredible guest today, ladies and gentlemen. Her name is Sonia Hightower Labosco, and she's the executive director of Air Marshal National Council. And the Air Marshal National Council is a very interesting private group. Why do I say interesting? Because they are basically a private group of people who have served together in a defense capacity for the American people, in a protection for the American people status, but things have run off the rails. And now they become whistleblowers to truly stand up and create honor, integrity, and accountability. You want to learn more? Air Marshal NC.com is where you can go for this. And you can learn more about it. Sonia, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Now, you've dedicated your whole life to law enforcement. Give us a 30-second sketch, will you?
Well, Sam, you're absolutely correct. I started my career off in the early 90s at Daytona Beach Police Department. After witnessing what happened on September the 11th, 2001, I changed hats and came over to fly on aircraft and make sure that no terrorist was ever going to do what they did to us in our backyard again. I retired in 2014, started the Air Marshal National Council because I did not like where the agency was going and their political pendulum swinging, not looking out for the folks and the families that, you know, lost loved ones on 9/11. And here we are sitting today, and every day we fight this battle for the American people.
AirMarshalNC.com is her website. Lance, this is serious business of what they have to tell us.
I mean, look, you know, we are looking at our government making decisions that are causing our airspace to not be safe. You know, they're violating the terms of the agreement of what they say is supposed to happen. TSA is making decisions that Sonia is going to cover and tell you about today. I mean, for God's sake, Sam, they put air marshals that were COVID positive on flights with American citizens with absolutely no concern for the outcome. You know, here they are telling us on one side that the plandemic, you know, how dangerous it is. And here they are making decisions on the other side that are obviously detrimental to everybody on that flight. It's more clear, obvious, points that the government is out of control. They, you know, here's a person that's dedicated their entire life. Sonia has done an amazing amount of work for our country. And God bless her that she's come forward to make us aware of this. And, you know, Sonia, I got to tell you, when you told me about the COVID positive air marshals, tell the listeners about this. Tell us how you found out and what really came from that. You know, what happened?
Well, in the early start of the pandemic, I want to just let the listeners know that we at the Air Marshal National Council, we have federal air marshals that are current and retired in all 20 field offices across the nation. So we get things in real time as they're happening in the field. So we started getting phone calls in the beginning of the pandemic. TSA provided no testing for air marshals. They provided no ground time if they were sick or they were having issues. They wanted them to fly because at TSA, if we keep the numbers up, we keep the metrics up, which means they get more money in their budget. So it didn't matter that air marshals were sick or COVID positive. Their supervisors told them, get on the plane and fly. And the air marshals did it. Some of them refused, but some of them did it because they were in fear of losing their job. And our agency, we reached out to TSA Administrator David Pekoski and to DHS Secretary Mayorkas, and we said, you cannot do this. You are endangering the American people. They did it anyway, and they did not even let the people on the aircraft. They did no contact tracing. They didn't let anybody in the airport know that they had COVID-positive fams that were sitting in the airport, and they did this every day.
Which, Sonia, I hate to say this, but this shows willful intent, does it not?
Absolutely. You better believe it. It's 100% willful intent. We have fought this agency for years now, trying to get the agency to do the right thing for the American people. And I have to tell you, TSA is not our friend. TSA is not going to do what is right and what they are supposed to do to protect our country.
Now, I want you to rewind just for a second, Sonia, so we get it. Because you know what? You worked for the, as a federal marshal for quite some time. You worked in law enforcement for quite some time. And now you're coming out as a whistleblower to kind of tell us, you know what? They literally intentionally spread COVID, if you will. These marshals are prevented from doing their jobs. The air is not safe because of a variety of reasons. But the planes and the flight crews and the people on the planes are not protected. The skies are unsafe without the federal marshals on one hand. On the other hand, with what they're doing by hamstringing these marshals, they're not safe with the marshals either in many ways. What made you, you started out as very supportive of kind of the system. What made all this change to where you're like, wait a minute, this isn't what I signed up for, if you will?
Well, in 2005, we were pretty good. You know, after 9/11, the agency's been around. The Air Marshals actually have been around since 1961. It was a program that JFK started, and at that time, it was under the FAA. Since 1961, we've changed hands a few times. We've gone from the FAA to the Customs and Border Patrol, then back over to ICE. But in 2005, they put us under this agency called the Transportation Security Administration, and immediately, in 2005, I started seeing this big pendulum swing toward more of the screening protection. You know, TSA is an administrative agency. Federal air marshals are law enforcement. So they've saddled our very small little, couple of thousand folks inside this 65,000 agency of bureaucrats that are administrative. And I could see then the stronghold they were starting to do to try to take away our law enforcement duties. So this has been going on. It's been a slow boil.
Let me understand this, because I think this is important, and I think people really need to understand this kind of dovetail that I'm going to build here for a second. If you could skip the break, Lizzie, that'd be great. This is too vital. Okay, so Sonia, what I'm saying is that, you know what, at first glance, you would say, hey, air marshals with law enforcement capabilities are unconstitutional. But then you would also say, you know what, the space program, you know, you got the Air Force, Navy, Army, Marines, the Air Force or the space, program, hey, unconstitutional. However, as things change in society, though, there becomes a need for it. My concern is maybe we haven't gone about it properly. That might be a different discussion. But I want to bring this up because I want people to understand the relevancy. When there becomes a need for something, hey, they didn't have planes back in the Constitution Day. But yet the Constitution can evolve to take care of these things if we do it right. Do you think we've done it right?
Absolutely not.
That is the problem, isn't it?
It's a huge problem, Sam, and we're trying to get it done right. We've got to get out of TSA. If we're going to operate in a law enforcement capacity, we have got to get with another law enforcement group that understands to get the bad guys, you got to go out and look for the bad guys, right? You got to be in the right spot at the right time. You have to be dedicated to the mission. You work 24/7. You don't just work your Monday through Friday, your government hours 9 to 5. You can't catch bad guys that way.
Now, who would be the right people to go with? I don't trust the Justice Department nor the FBI these days either.
We're limited, Sam. The one spot that we think that we could fit and fit fairly well, unfortunately, is still in DHS, and that's at Homeland Security Investigations. At least at the minimum, we would be with another law enforcement group that actually goes out and put handcuffs and tries to take these bad guys off the street. Right now within TSA, we have zero chance.
Lance, the problem is the threat's real. Okay, and I agree with her that there, you know what, the threat is real. This is not something to joke about or take lightly. We do so at our own peril for sure. At the same time, I say, you know what? They haven't constitutionally created these organizations, and that's part of the problem that, you know what, there's the checks and balances and due process and literal things that we believe are vital at the center of all this discussion are simply overlooked by most of these, to a great degree, rogue groups, Lance.
I mean, that's, you just nailed it, Sam. I mean, let's face it. The founders, the framers, they designed the Constitution. They designed the Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence. They did it in a manner knowing what they had already seen previously. And you're correct. I mean, could they identify aircraft at that time, or did they know that was going to happen? No. But the way that the document was written, they were much brighter than I will ever be. They wrote it in a way that it was a living document, and the fact that it could be followed correctly even when changes are going to be made. But let's face it, our government, I understand that even many of the people in our government don't have a signed oath of office in their files. I understand there's some FOIA investigations going on currently that are proving this. They don't feel an obligation to uphold the Constitution. It's clear by the Twitter files that 1A, they don't want to abide by it. They want to create their mockingbird programs to brainwash Americans and lie to Americans and cheat Americans out of the truth. 2A, it's under full attack. Clearly, that this is just one more example. I believe the Air Marshal Service, and I'm going to say this, I'm going to put myself on a limb, based on everything I know about them, is one of the few agencies that really is trying to abide by their charter, really is trying to protect Americans, really are true believers in what this country stands for. I can't say the same about the CIA, the FBI, DHS, TSA. Clearly, I can't say it about our executive branch whatsoever. This is an organization with real true believers and real heroes, and they're trying to do their job, and yet the system is forcing them to not do their job with the threat of losing their job, which is just unbelievable.
And that's why Sonia Hightower, Lobosco, and others are putting this group together, this Air Marshal National Council, because they feel like they need the ability to work together, to share information, to whistleblow, and then most importantly, to provide solutions, Sonia.
And we have the solutions. Look, we've done white papers. We've shown that where if we could get out of TSA and go to another agency, we could shave $500 million, $500 million off the budget every year. We would be leaner and meaner, and we would provide more quality, high-risk, intelligent space flights to the American people versus being a piggy bank right now for TSA and them not utilizing us properly.
There you have it, Lance. I believe she's right about this, and I believe that's what this independent council is providing. Solutions for, to say, look, we have got to create an independent organization that doesn't sit under the thumb of government to be forced to shut up or to not say anything or to, you know, lose their careers or to, okay, this is a group that says, hey, we can stand up independently as a private organization and tell the tale and advocate for solutions, Lance.
Look, independent oversight is something that we know works across the board. But the government, our government, doesn't want independent oversight. The OIG, who is supposed to be responsible for oversight, doesn't want to do their job. The Department of Justice gets whistleblowers coming in constantly. They don't want to do their job. The FBI sits on evidence like the Wiener laptop, the Hunter Biden laptop, the Hillary Clinton emails, and they don't want to do their job.
Not only sits on evidence, but actively runs interference to prevent that evidence, those facts, from coming to light.
Exactly. Now, here's Sonia with an independent oversight group, and it's, you can see that it's working. they're doing their job. And you can tell, you know, there's nothing to say that there weren't good agents in the FBI or good agents in the CIA. But why they're not standing up, Sonia and I had a discussion yesterday. How can these agents go along with this criminal enterprise? How can they go along with being told what to do when they know it's in direct conflict with what is best for the people of the United States and what's best?
You're
for
right about this, but Sonia, I want to go to you. Many of these people feel trapped. Many of these people feel like they have no choice. Sometimes they're not really caught up on things. Obviously, things started to get worse, and then eventually you got wind of it. But it's for a variety of reasons, right?
It is for a variety of reasons. You got to look. A lot of times, we get a lot of whistleblowers from other agencies. They're coming over to our group now. We've got whistleblowers from the U.S. Marshals Service, from HHS, from DHS Countering Weapons of Mass Destruction, because they need to see others standing up and going, this is not right, I can't do it, you shouldn't do it, come to us, let's work as a team, and let's make some positive effects, and let's cause some great pain to these people that have put our nation and our national security in peril.
Let me ask you this. Behind the scenes, Sonia, have you discovered why are they doing this? Why would you do this to your own country? To me, it's treasonous. It's traitorous. But why would these people do this? Is it just for money? Are they over a barrel and they have to because they're in bed with foreign influence who's got them by the short hairs? I mean, what is driving this, where this is happening? Because it's not just one or two people that we could rat out and shut down. It's literally controlled across the top in ways that shock folks like me who dig into it, right?
It is. You're right, Sam. It is very broad. Since been doing this for a couple of years as a whistleblower with the council, you know, you think that you bring a reasonable solution to people in power, and that they would look at that reasonable solution and say, "Hey, this is great. Let's do it." But unfortunately, that doesn't happen. One example: we went to the agency. They forced federal air marshals to give all their personal identifiable information to China on visas. Our agency did, and we said, hey, this is not reasonable. You're putting our undercover agents in danger. You're putting their families in danger. You're giving information to China. Stop doing this. They didn't stop doing it, and as a matter of fact, the air marshals that refused to give their information to China, the agency disciplined them and suspended them severely.
Wow. George, so this is not one or two or three. There's something deeper. Where's the core, you think, George?
Points, and you know, I look at this as the age of the whistleblower, because we have whistleblowers coming out of woodworks, but the Democrats only want to talk about whistleblowers if it's for their favor. But Sonia just made a point, said they could save $500 million by going to a different agency. $500 million we could save. Meanwhile, we're fighting for a debt ceiling right now, and here's one small solution to save money on the debt ceiling, but nothing's being done. The government doesn't care about the quality of life of Americans or the TSA agents, because they would have never put COVID agents that were COVID positive in the airports on flights. But you know what they would say, Sam? Oh, they were wearing masks, even though we don't know masks works. But that's an excuse they'd probably say. Oh, they were wearing masks. Masks would protect everybody when it didn't, because COVID still spread. And they knew it, but they don't care about quality of life of anybody. All they care about the quality of their pockets.
Next hour, we're going to talk to Sonia in more detail about the examples where whistleblowers have come forward. We're going to get into the details of exactly how unsafe the skies have become. Folks, it does not have to be this way. That's the quintessential point we're making. There are solutions. Sonia and others have them. We want to bring to you the problem, but we also want to focus on the solution. So we'll do that next hour. But we've only got a few minutes left in this hour, and I want to ask Sonia this, because right when we brought her on, we were talking about this Title 42 and the border. Title 42 expires. There's going to be a tsunami of fentanyl in our community, illegal aliens, all kinds of criminals, literally free to roam about the cabin, meaning the country, carte blanche. And really promoted and funded by a gazillion government welfare programs with virtually no oversight. This is disaster, Sonia.
It is a disaster, Sam. And this is a disaster for national security when it comes to aviation, because this means sending 182 FAMs down to the border means that we are going to reduce our flight coverage, which is only 1% now, down by about 44, about almost half of that. We're going to go down to a 0.05% coverage on flights.
In other words, ladies and gentlemen, let me kind of rephrase that. You're saying that almost every single flight you're on will have nobody literally in a position to keep the peace, Lance.
You're 100%.
You are absolutely
Sonya's
correct.
Got some items she is going to cover that I think you're going to be shocked about how really unsafe our air has become because of the choices our government is making.
Sonya, do you recommend Americans fly on planes now or not? I mean, is it just like, hey, you know what? We shouldn't even get on a plane?
If you get on a plane, you better be completely ready to defend for yourself. If you're taking small children on a plane, you need to make sure you stay together in a group. I mean, it's almost like a tactical, you almost have to make a tactical decision to fly. Because over the last 12 months, if you haven't seen it in the media, Google it. Look at all the madness that has happened in the skies with passengers holding razor blades to other passengers' throats. We've had level 4 threats, which is the highest threat you can get through the FAA. That means somebody tried to breach the cockpit. We've had level 3 threats where there's life-threatening behavior. Recently, in March of 2023, this year, long-haul flight from LAX to Boston, man stabbed a flight attendant 3 times. Passengers got up and wrestled him down. They were so tired because the passengers reached out to me after that happened. They had wrestled this guy for over 20 minutes. He broke flexi-cuffs. They had to get belts from passengers to strap his legs, and he was so extremely strong. And we had like three men on top of this guy. He was so strong, they could barely hold him. Let me tell you, and it was so sad to hear those passengers, because you know what they said? They thought they were on flight United 93. They were calling their loved ones saying, I don't know if I'm going to make it home tonight. This guy's trying to take the plane over. Ladies and gentlemen, this is where we're at in this country.
And none of this, hold on, Sonya, none of this is really hitting the news. The worst we hear is someone got drunk and got naked on the plane or this or that, and that's all we're really hearing. We're not hearing these crucial violations or breaches of security.
No, sir, you're not, and you need to. There were kids crying on that plane. There were unaccompanied minors by themselves that didn't know if they were going to get to their next location. And the passengers themselves, we're working right now. We've done some whistleblowing in Congress. Why didn't we have air marshals on that flight? It's LAX to Boston. You've got probably 12,000 gallons of fuel on that plane. That's the flight that we have been on in the past. Why weren't we on that flight? That's the question. Why?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is very interesting. AirMarshalsNC.com if you want to learn more about what Sonya and her team are doing. We're talking to Sonya Hightower-Labosco. She's the executive director of Air Marshal National Council. Sonya, before we end this hour, I want to make sure people know, because some people have to leave for next hour, et cetera, et cetera. What can we do to be valuable citizens and support what you're doing?
Keep spreading the word through every channel that you can on media. Start screaming to your representatives, your Congress, your senators, anybody that will listen at the congressional level, that we are taxpayers, Sam. We deserve to be protected. That's what we're paying for. We need our air marshals on the planes, and we do not need to be at the southern border.
We do need solutions at the southern border, ladies and gentlemen, but not the air marshals. That's the point. What we need to do is put drones on the border. We've covered that on this broadcast as well, to really focus on solutions there to create accountability and give those who are on the ground on the border a heads up before they ever get in harm's way. But we seem to not have any respect for those who have signed up to serve their country, whether if they're in the military, air marshals, FBI, Justice Department. There's a lot of good people. There's bad apples at the top, no question. And there's an agenda behind the scenes that's hard to understand. There's no question. But most of the people are good and doing their best. We need more whistleblowers, that's for sure. But we can also see why there's not, with the abuse they get, etc. Ladies and gentlemen, Sonya Hightower-Labosco with us. Lance and George with us. They're going to carry over to the next hour. And we're going to talk more about these specific examples that are real that the media is not telling you about. You want to learn more? AirMarshalNC.com. Hang tight. Hour one of the Cantuke coming up. God save the Republic of the United States of America.